Hello, and welcome to Season 8, Episode 2 of the Virtual Coffee Podcast. I am Becca, and this is a podcast that features members of the Virtual Coffee community. Virtual Coffee is an intimate tech community of people at all stages of their tech journey, and they're here on this podcast and sharing their stories and what they've learned. Here with me today is my co-host, Dan.
What up, Beck?
Yo, how's it going? What's up?
Yo, not much. Today we have another great, as usual, episode for y'all. We have Alex Curtis-Lepp here with us. Alex is a self-taught software developer and a longtime, you know, Virtual Coffee member, Virtual Coffee volunteer, and a really all-around great person. He's one of our, you know, I think most common room leaders. He does an amazing job at that and is a great member of our community. So we're very happy to have him on the podcast today.
Yeah, and one of the things that I really like from this episode is Alex talking a lot about balancing learning as a developer, but also there's other hobbies and passions that you bring as a human person, right? Like, we're not just developers. We have these other things that we do. And I think that it's really important to acknowledge all of the different pieces of us. And I appreciate Alex tolerating, maybe encouraging our questions to dive into some of those other parts of us that become really important to understand who we are as people and by extension developers.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think he had a really awesome outlook on all that stuff, how to stay healthy and, you know, in general, happy as a developer. And he had a lot of good ideas to sort of help you do that in a manageable way, right? As we still have to work, you know, sometimes even sometimes when we're not feeling great, and there's a lot of ways to help you get through that. And I think Alex had some great ideas for that process.
Yeah, absolutely. We start every episode of the podcast, like we start every virtual coffee, with introducing ourselves with our name, where we're from, what we do, and a random check-in question. We hope you enjoy this episode. Today's question is, would you rather go on road trips or fly to a different country? My name is Becca. I am a person in tech from a small town in Ohio. And I think that it has to do with who you're taking a trip with. I think road trips can be really fun, but if it's like road trip with my kids where we're driving in a car for a long amount of time, they are not going to be happy, and then that's not going to be super fun. So maybe I would fly with them to a different country, but I would not road trip with them, although I think road tripping would be very fun.
Nice. Yep. Hi, I'm Dan. I am also a person in tech, and I live in Cleveland. And yeah, I love road trips. I mean, I don't mind flying places or whatever, but I'm a big, big fan of road tripping, and I have road tripped into other countries. You know, well, I guess one, but you know, I've done it. I'm going to do it again. It's good times. It would be cool to go to Europe and drive around. I suppose they have like all the trains and stuff like that too, but you know.
I feel like you're cheating. You're like, I'm going to fly to a different country and road trip there. That's not the question.
Can you drive to
Canada? Drive to
South America? Like from is there a bridge over like the canal and stuff?
I don't know about that one.
I feel like you're pushing it there.
I've driven to Canada a bunch of times, and I'm going to do it again this summer. So, you know, with road trips. Road trips are fun. I like them. That's my answer.
Cool.
Welcome, Alex. Go ahead.
Thanks for having me. I'm Alex. I'm a software developer in the Tampa Bay, Florida area. And my choice would be to fly to my destination. As much as I also love road trips, I think flying is my number one.
Nice. Sounds good.
Not a big fan of airports or like being in planes. I mean, like, I like being in the air, but it's just like these planes with all the, you know, you're all packed in together and stuff.
Yeah. Last week,
I think that's my main thing.
I took my girls to Houston last week, Texas. And so we had to fly, and it was their first time on a plane. And I filmed some of it, but it was so funny. Like, they were so loud because they were so excited. They're like, oh, did you feel it? What? Look at that. And I was just like, the joy that they had flying for the first time was so fun.
Yeah. That's cool.
So welcome, Alex. We are very, very happy to have you here. Alex is a longtime member and volunteer at Virtual Coffee, and we want to get started with your origin story. So before we jump into that, what is one word that describes your developer journey?
Well, I think at this point, I'll say gratifying. I think that so many people have welcomed me with open arms and given me great support and allowed me to be who I am and really just try to cater to what I'm trying to do. And I just think that that's been so moving for me on a lot of different levels. And so I would just say gratifying ultimately.
I love that. That's really great. So talk to us a little bit about what that journey looked like for you.
Yeah. So I'd always been interested in tech. I've had a blog since early 2002. And so my first exposure to coding was customizing HTML and CSS on that site. And I didn't think too much about coding at the time as far as the importance or the frequency that I would do it. I was just trying to make my site look how I wanted it. Later on, 2019, I was following Madison Canna's YouTube channel and email list, and she made a course about creating a developer roadmap. And I thought, okay, you know, I'll give this a shot. Just one time fee and, you know, just $50, and I'll get this a shot and see what I think of it. Got nothing to lose. And I really liked it. I took a course from Treehouse on front end development. And that was kind of my aha moment, so to speak, about coding and this software development stuff. And went from there and did React and open source, and of course jumped into VC and got to meet more people. So it just really kind of brought light to the whole scene, and now I'm meeting more of these people in person, and it's just been an uphill climb, I guess you could say, and it's been fun. So there's a lot of great people here, and we're all just supporting each other and enjoying it. So I think that's ultimately what life's about.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, and I want to take a step back for a second, because I think you're the only person I've ever heard talk about Madison Canna's course. So how did you first discover it? Was it through Twitter and then you started the course?
So I don't know if the course is currently still active, but at the time I initially found her YouTube channel, just looking different random stuff on YouTube, and I was on her email list, and then she subsequently notified us about the course, and now I think that we're still running the Code Book Club there on Discord, and so that's still a weekly active thing, and I tend to be there. I've missed the last couple of weeks, but I love that group, and there's a core group of people that have kind of been around since around the same time VC started in 2020, and that's a great group of people, and we always really, you know, like, just like we do in VC, we grow together and we really work on our skills, and it's fantastic.
That's great. So what was that course like?
That course was more about exploring different options. Okay, you can take courses on this platform or that platform, and here's the comparison of maybe a self-directed path to a bootcamp path. And it was more about exploring the options you have to become a developer, and then just trying to encourage people to jump into the option that they felt was best for them.
I love that. I think that's really important. And a lot of the challenges that new folks have coming into tech is figuring out that exact thing, right? Especially, like, there's so much out there that you could be doing or learning. And I know at one point I was doing a Udacity nano degree program, and it was like soul crushing. It wanted me to die inside. And oh, I thought, you know, I'm not cut out for this, because I can't sit here and watch these videos and finish it. And then I found Flatiron School, and that ended up working way better for me. And it was a game changer. But when you're first exploring that thing, especially if you don't have a group of people there to kind of advise you or to ask questions to, it can be really hard to figure out what works for you.
For sure. And, you know, Madison definitely helped me a lot in the beginning, like taking time to just do one-on-ones and just see where I was going and progressing, and having that support and that community, whether it be virtual or in person, like we cultivate here at BC, is critical. And it really just enables people to level up, and it allows people to get the feedback that they need to change course as they need. And I think that really just helps people so much. And it's something that really is a core of how I try to live my life. And it's been inspiring to see how we do that on an everyday basis.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. And I want to turn to one of your tweets, and we'll link it in the show notes. But it was from February, I think, of this year. And it says, take care of yourself to bring your best each day. Stay active, well-rested, eat fresh foods, hydrate, and maintain great relationships as much as possible. You'll write better code and have a lot better day-to-day. And I just love that so much, because I feel like we often get lost in all the heaviness of the stuff that's going on around us, or the stress of learning, or the stress of getting a promotion, and all of those things. And it can be really hard to stay well-rounded and balanced. And I think one of the things I've always been most impressed with you about is that you seem to do a really good job of that. So can you talk a little bit about how you kind of maintain that balance? Because it can be really hard.
Well, thanks for thinking I do a great job of it. It's definitely a volatile thing. There's no doubt about it. I actually got to my office 10 minutes before this podcast. So there we go. You know, I think it's just important to acknowledge our humanity, but then try to do our best. I think if we're prepared, then we're just so much, everything's so much easier. So trying to do your best to know what your goals are and try to attack them and have fun doing it and bring your best to that. You know, I think sleep is such a underrated, under talked about thing. It just, of course, makes us so much better, and people cut corners, and I think we all do that at times, and that's perfectly fine. But there's certain things that we really just need to do on a regular basis, and your performance is ultimately what should inspire you and help you remember that that's true. I mean, and that's how it is for me. Like, because when I, you know, go through my day and I'm able to do all the different things I try to do and then do it pretty well, do it with a decent amount of smoothness, it just shows me the importance of why I do what I do and how important the impact I can have. Like, ultimately, we do the things that make us our best to have an impact, right? So when my impact is strongest, I feel my best, and I feel like I'm giving something that really just adds more value to people's lives and my own. So ultimately, that's where I want to be as much as I can. And I think when you can align your goals with that idea or whatever that is for you, it can really help you take care of yourself to bring that and be that.
I love that. And I know that we have a lot of people who are looking for jobs, especially now, because there have been so many layoffs, so many new folks coming into tech. And so what advice would you give them when they're kind of on that part of the journey that feels really frustrating, they're overwhelmed, they're, you know, putting out tons of resumes, or they're working really hard and they feel like they're not making any progress, like they're stuck? What would you say to them?
Yeah, I think it's important to document the small wins. Right. Just, let's say you get an open source contribution merged into a project. It could be a big one. It could be a small one. Ultimately, even though some things are less, they seem less tangible, there are wins. There are things that are probably happening. I remember initially, of course, in my tech journey, wanting to get interviews and then, you know, not getting them and then finally getting them. And I was thinking, oh, yes, great. I've got interviews. So that's the first step. So you have to take it in steps and realize that no one just got to the top of the ladder. They climbed up each step. they didn't skip steps to get to the top of the ladder. I mean, in a real life situation, right? So maybe they can skip steps in tech or in some parts of their lives, but on a real ladder, no one skips steps. And ultimately, that's where we all are, and especially in the beginning of our tech journey, we're on a ladder. And so you got to just do what you need to do and stay positive and find that balance, get that rest, and do something outside of tech. I think we're always so focused on tech. We're always so focused on code and this tool and that tool and all these different things that are the new hotness, right? So getting away from that can help you get better into that, as odd as that sounds. So it's really important. It's really how we avoid burnout. It's how we persist. It's how we bring our best. We've talked about that. So it's just stay positive. Try to get outside of tech. Try to do something that gives you that smile, gives you joy, and then go back to tech with that feeling, with that greater sense of appreciation, and then see how you go.
I was laid off, as you know, about 5 weeks ago, and I've been trying to rediscover all of those things that you're talking about, Alex, because I think at some point I just kind of started letting the weight of things crush me. And I, like, physically, I feel so much better now. And I'm trying to also build in good habits. We've mentioned Arthur Dohler's talk a couple of times on the podcast about burnout. And he was a guest a couple of weeks ago, or this will be a different season. He was a guest last season. But one of the tips that he either said in the talk or we had in a conversation after the talk was to avoid burnout, you have to prepare good habits before going into the next thing. And so before I move on to the next role that I'm taking, I'm trying to like reinforce those good habits. What are the good things that I could be doing every day and building on that? So then when I do get into another role, I don't let myself slide back into these things that were just really stressing me out and like literally felt heavy on my shoulders. And so, you know, part of that is finding those hobbies. Somebody asked me, oh, it was my son. Like, well, what are your hobbies? What do you do? I'm like, I don't know. I got four kids. Like, you are my hobby. But even like taking a 10-minute walk outside every morning, that's been something that I found to be really impactful and during my day. And it's 10 minutes, you know, it's not a huge bit of time. And some days it's really cold. It's getting warmer now in Ohio, but yeah. But I think like that idea of making sure that you have those things and building time into that is really important. And I think that's also something that you do really well. And one of the things that I find refreshing about, you know, like following your Instagram, right? Like you're posting exotic fruits and I love to see it, you know, because so much of our community on social media and tech is so tech focused. And to be able to see, hey, there's other cool things out there that we can talk about and it doesn't have to be tech all the time, actually like is really refreshing.
Yeah, I really like it because I love other things. I mean, we all don't just love tech, at least I think. And, you know, it's great to love tech and we can always dig into tech, but there's other things to life. I like fruit. I like basketball. I like taking care of myself. I like my friends and family. I like traveling. I like languages. I mean, everyone has their handful or more of things. And that's what we need to have fun with. I mean, we're not always just going to be working. We're not always just going to be coding, and we should be coding and we should be enjoying that whole process. But we want to be real well-rounded people. We want to be more than just developers. And I think it's important, one thing you mentioned, the 10-minute walk, it doesn't have to be a big time investment. 5 or 10 minutes can really do a lot. It could be stretching. It could be meditating. It could be going for that walk or going for a quick run, quick sprints. Something that really resonates with you that doesn't necessarily take a lot of time can make a big impact on your daily reality.
I think I have to draw the line at sprints. We can't. Sprints are hard. I did sprints the other day and my lungs hated me for the rest of the day. So Yeah, I think that idea is really important. And I like the idea of being able to celebrate your little wins. And I was talking to somebody recently who's been searching for a job for a while, and they were kind of they were really discouraged, right? But they had an interview. And I said, having an interview is a win, right? And celebrating each of those tiny things becomes important, because you're right. Like, you're not going to skip to the top of the thing. And when you're going through that process, the interview process can be really grueling, especially for your first job. If you don't celebrate those, it's going to become really hard to bring your best self to the interviews that you are doing.
It's very true. And the interview process, I think, is maybe the most grueling part of the process, even more than learning all this stuff. I think just sometimes we make it more personal than just business, because ultimately it's just business. And if a company makes a decision, it's not necessarily a reflection on you. But of course, you have control over how you perform in the interviews. So that's the thing where I think you really want to be gentle with yourself. You want to just understand that it's a business decision. It's not a personal, like, you're a bad person, I'm not going to hire you decision. It's just a decision based on what's best for the business. And I think removing that personal aspect just will allow you to really just move with so much more brevity and get the result you're looking for a lot faster.
Yeah. And I've heard circumstances of, you know, people putting out hundreds of job applications and getting really discouraged by that. But I recently heard, listened to an audiobook. I can't remember who it was by, but they said they look at resumes for 30 seconds. And then if you're interesting, they'll Google you and look at your, like, how you show up in the search results for a minute. So you have a minute and a half. And so I know that it's really hard when you're putting out so many resumes and cover letters to get down on yourself or to be constantly tweaking it. But the fact is, like, 30 seconds is not a whole lot of time to really get to know and understand someone. And so, you know, finding those ways to be positive is important. So, you know, what are some of the ways that you were able to do that as you were interviewing?
That's a good question. I think there was a lot going on in my life when I was trying to, the majority of this journey getting into tech, you know, COVID was going on and living at this apartment that I no longer live. It's just, you know, I think it was just trying to fit in the time to do this. And as far as staying positive with that, man, I think it was up and down. I think there were times when I really just felt, what am I doing here? Am I going to be able to get this thing I'm looking for? And there were times when I would code and do stuff and I just thought, you know, this is so cool, and I'm making contributions to open source, I'm building this React project, I built this Mad Libs game. I think it was really all over the place, in all honesty, but I think what kept me positive was just the fact that thinking back to when I found the joy for front end and just development in general, and just also remembering, like, I remember for some reason when I was really young and I was reading something, I remember I learned about what APIs are. And for some reason that stands out for me. And that just something is that I think is cool and something that I always remember. And so I just know, like, where I come from with this and why I'm here and why I'm doing what I'm doing. That ultimately is what guides me. But I think it was really up and down. There were times I felt really great about my resume and what I was putting out there. And there were times when I felt like I'm just going through the motions and this thing is just spinning around and not going anywhere. And so I think just sticking with it overall, despite how you feel, is the way to do it.
There's a trending audio on Instagram Reels that's on a bunch of, I think it's like, well, I've got like the weightlifting algorithm, right? So those are the majority of the videos that the reels that I get. But it kind of talks about the same thing. Like, nobody else is going to show up for you if you don't show up for yourself, right? And sometimes it's going to be easy, and sometimes you're going to see that progress. And other times it's going to be months and you're not going to see that progress. And so it's not about the gains. It's about, you get up and you have to do it. And that's really, really hard sometimes. And that's why I think, like, forming those good habits and trying to stay, have a positive mindset is really important. And then in those times where it feels impossible to do that, that's why having a good supportive community around you is so important, because there are times that you feel like, hey, I can't do this. I cannot submit one more resume or do one more rep or whatever. And then so I'll tell a weightlifting story, but I remember one time I was deadlifting and like couldn't move it off the ground, right? And then one of the guys from the gym came. He's like, come on, you got this, right? And I was like, all right, I got this. And then I did it, right? Like,
yeah.
I was the same amount of strong that I was 3 seconds ago. Mm-hmm. But having somebody cheer me on, give me that little bit of confidence that I didn't have in myself was enough for me to lift that very heavy thing off the ground. And I feel like that's a really good metaphor for why community matters.
Yeah, I mean, I think that our own self-confidence is our biggest catalyst. And what that person did was instilled self-confidence within you. So falling in love with the process is important. And I think that's a big part of my reality. But if you are self-confident, then like you could be not even the best developer, or you could be not even the best weightlifter or whatever. But that confidence and that if you have it, people will know, and you'll exude that confidence and you'll be able to be that much better off. You'll really just stand out, and you'll be that much better because you're believing in yourself. And that's a big part of, I think, getting into this software development. It's just remembering that you're worth it. You're here for a reason. You have a place here, and just standing that ground and cementing it.
I love that so much. I was actually like, I wanted to go back a little bit to some of the stuff we were talking about when you were talking about how important sleep is, right, to your, mm-hmm. your outlook and everything. And I totally agree with it. But I was wondering, as a person who sometimes maybe struggles with some of that balance and some of the sleep stuff, if you have any specific, I don't know, habits or whatever, you know, to help yourself get the right amount of sleep and get, you know, and like figure out that cycle and get it, you know, like in good shape.
Yeah. So it certainly goes up and down for me as well. One thing that I think is helpful is kind of turning off all your screens as early as possible. Our screens are very stimulating, lots of different blue light and all that fun stuff, dopamine. So the sooner we can get away from that and kind of start to chill and, you know, get into maybe a self-care routine, like turning off your screens and then, you know, cleaning your teeth, or sometimes that's what I'm doing, or I read a book. Like, you know, certain people, sometimes books wake them up, sometimes books will chill you down, depends on the topic, depends on the person. Maybe it could be a stretching routine. One of the big things I would say, like I said, is turning those screens off, finding that centered space, getting away from what you were doing on those screens, the topics, like just kind of mellowing out in any way that, you know. For me, I like to clean my teeth and read a book. I know everyone's a little different. It could be a nice little stretching routine. Maybe some kind of like hot compress on your eyes with a towel could be a nice way to chill and mellow out. But those are my preferred ones.
Nice. I like the idea of like doing that hot compress just at night every day. That sounds really nice. It sounds pleasant.
Yes. I don't go for that one at night too often, but it's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that.
I wanted to echo what you said about stretching before bed. It was actually advice my therapist gave me when I was having some trouble, like falling asleep, was like just a simple stretching routine. And it helped so much. And it's so weird, because it wasn't like I was laying in bed like, oh, my muscles are sore or something like that. You know what I mean? It wasn't really like directly related, but it's just like, well, we all know our mind and our bodies are obviously very much connected, and it made a big difference for me. So I think that's good advice too. That's all I had to say about that.
Yeah. And exploring just different ways to wind down, to get your mind and your body prepared to go to sleep, I think can be really hard. It's a skill, right? It can be really challenging to be able to do that.
Well, I think it's a habit, and it's built by consistency. I think consistency is discipline, if that makes sense. People talk about discipline, but I think ultimately consistency makes discipline so easy. So just make it a habit and try to stick with it, and it'll get easier over time.
Yeah, I find that I'm really good at things like that until I fall off track. And then it becomes really hard to get started again. Like, I'll eat super healthy for like 6 months straight, and then I go visit a friend and get totally off track. And then it takes me like 2 months to get back on track.
Yep. It's real. Depends on your level of commitment. I think that's where you realign with your why. And then boom, you get back on track. You jump back on the train. But you really got to resonate with your why and connect with it, reconnect with it as you need to get you back.
Yeah, I like that idea of reconnect with your why. And I think that's part of, you know, the issues that I was really facing in the last 6 months with stress is like not knowing what the why was. At some point, I lost that. And then it became really hard to get back on track. And then doing just like a lot of, I would say, self-destructive things, not just like low key, right? Bad habits, not sleeping well, not doing things that I know enrich my life and lead to good decisions, you know? And then just kind of going with it because it lost that idea and didn't know how to kind of like, first of all, I didn't realize that I lost it. And second of all, once I did kind of see, I wasn't really sure how to recalibrate after that. So do you have any thoughts on, you know, if people are in that situation, how to kind of like figure out what that why is if they're feeling like, I don't know what it is right now?
That's a good question. I think just consider what drives you. Consider what makes you want to wake up in the morning. Try to see where your passion, your fire comes from, and then define and align your goals in parallel with that. I'm going to get up every day and dig in and love and go crazy about the things I love all the time. Like, that's just, I feel like my life in a sense. Like, the things I love are the things that drive me and the things that keep me going and keep me engaged. And so if you fall off, think about why, what do I love? What do I want to always do? What am I always keen for? Right. And then just redefine your goals to bring your best for that. You know, like, could be, you know, I love running every day. I'm going to, you know, train to do this 5K or, you know, anything. I love writing. I'm going to write 100 words, 300 words that are really solid and really verbose they say a lot. These 300 words are really meaningful. So developing tangible, small, doable things that, you know, go along with your passion really can get you back over time.
I like that. I found one of the things too that's been helpful for me recently. You know, when you're in tech, everything moves so quickly. There's always something new to learn. There's always a different way to grow. There's a new podcast or there's a new audiobook that everybody should read to help you improve your life, right? And I felt like probably at some point I was on information overload, like constantly learning. And sometimes it's just too much. And so now if I take a walk in the morning or if I run, I'm usually listening to music. And before I wouldn't do that. I'm like, this is a good time for me to learn something new. I'm like, you know what? My brain just needs to chill out for a little bit. And that's okay. You don't always have to be doing something that seemingly improves your life, because the simple things, sitting down and enjoying life, you know, listening to my kids laugh, or, you know, walking around the neighborhood without like having a secondary mission for learning or whatever, is important, maybe just as important as learning something new.
Oh, yeah. I mean, finding the times to relax and bring more levity and just have fun, laugh. I think it's just as important as the work and the consistency. So definitely make space for that. Hopefully you've got family, friends around you. If you don't, then just try to seek them out. You know, my sister and I started doing Fruit Lux because we wanted people that were interested in fruit to come together and build a community of, you know, vegan and fruit loving people. And so that's what we did. And we've, you know, made tons of friends from that. So make it if it's not there, and just create what you're looking for.
I love that. Make it if it's not there. I think that that is really, really great advice. And sometimes it can be scary. Sometimes it can be an accident. But like finding those things that enrich your life are really important. And if you see something that you want to do, then find a way to put it into action.
Exactly.
I remember once I was talking to – this is kind of circling back a little bit. I was talking to a mom who was learning how to code. And she was saying how hard it was for her to retain the information. She's like, I'm going over the same stuff all the time. And so he said, okay, well, like, what is your process? Walk me through how you're learning. And it was something like, well, you know, after my kids go to bed, I will code from 10 p.m. until midnight. And then I want to get some coding in before they wake up. So I'll get up at 4 and then I do it from 4 to 6. I'm like, you're getting 4 hours of sleep. That's why you're not retaining anything. And it often feels like there's this race to get ahead, right? And I even felt coming out of my boot camp, I remember very naively thinking like, oh, once I land a job, now I'll be able to breathe. Like, nope, you're not going to be able to breathe. It's about to get even harder. And so again, back to that idea of building good habits, but like, don't undervalue that there's a process and it takes time. And if for every person, it's going to be a different path and it's going to take a different amount of time. Crushing your body and your spirit is not going to help you get there any faster.
Yeah. I mean, I think I can echo the same thing from my own experience. I mean, just being about 4 months into my first job here, I feel like it's taken me up to this point to get into the flow and into the ways to really optimize my schedule and my week. You know, soon after I started, it was the holidays. So that took me away for a couple of weeks and out of, you know, building up the flow and understanding how to be my best and knowing, you know, how much to take on work-wise outside of work and, you know, all that good stuff. And, you know, it does take time and you really want to respect that process. You want to just know that you're going to get to a better place. You're going to level out. You're going to find that balance. And it does take a good amount of time, but that's what good things take is time. And just remember that cliche and you'll be much better off.
And what does that adjustment look like for you going from not having this job to starting it to where you are now?
Well, I think a lot of it was just understanding how much to do in the evening. Because I think that like I was doing a lot. I would jump on the virtual coffee co-working room. I would really try to go to the meetups and stuff that happened virtually a lot. And like, that's great. And there's a time and place for that. But when you're working, you need to kind of give yourself some time to chill, give yourself some time away from the screen and make sure your body's right. Make sure you're getting that rest that we talked about. So I think that it was really just the first couple months still trying to engage and still trying to really kind of do what I used to do, but then realizing and pivoting and saying, okay, now I need to take a little bit off my shoulders. I need to just do a little bit less, but still show up, still have my presence be known and just bring it more for when I'm working. And then that's the most important. And it also helped me because when I was initially working, I was in the office all the time, but now I'm hybrid. So I'm in the office today, but I'm only in the office twice a week. So I think that really helped me kind of give myself more time, let myself do other things to make get my workouts in the morning and stuff like that. And so I think it's just been a progression, and luckily where I work, they're really open-minded. They're really receptive to what I have to say and what I know will help me. And so we're just working on it together and it's getting better over time, which is fantastic. It's been a fun process.
Yeah, that's really great to hear. I know that one of the things that I've done to kind of help with that balance too is when you are working remotely, you are in front of a screen all the time. And then meetings are in front of a screen, right? You're talking. So it's just never ending. So I do have the under the desk treadmill, but I started taking meetings with my camera off and going for a walk. So I'll just use my cell phone network, put in my earbuds, and then I'll listen to the call and be outside. And for me, that's kind of like a compromise. You know, I'm getting away from the computer. I'm still doing what I need to be doing for work, but this is better than me sitting in front of the computer all day long. I still need to figure out a good outside setup because the glare on my computer screen is really bad. And then my umbrella always like flies away. So one of these days I'll figure that out.
Yeah, that'll be good. That is a smart way to take meetings. I would like to try that too. I'm sure that's a nice way to get away from the screen, but still be working.
Yeah, it can be. I used to do that a lot. Now there's too much screen sharing. I feel like it's hard. You know, I have to have pull my phone out and like look at my phone and it's really small or whatever, you know, every time I try to do it. But I used to do that a lot. I would actually go in the backyard. I played disc golf. I would go and practice putting and stuff while I was on calls. One of my problems with that is I start not paying attention to the call when I'm doing other things. So that's, you know, it's something I would encourage people to try different things though and see if it works. You know, sometimes it might not end up working, but sometimes it can. But I think that's good advice. And like, yeah, getting outside is like just the best thing. Every time I am working long and I'm like, why do I feel like crap? You know? And then I go out, I walk outside. I'm like, oh, you know, like, I'm like, oh yeah, the sun. Like I don't have any windows in my office, you know? So it can like turn into this weird, you know, cave situation. And sometimes it's hard to like notice that thing while it's happening, you know. It's like that what is it, like the frog boiling in water slowly or whatever.
Yeah,
I forget what how does that metaphor go, but like where you don't really notice it, you know. It's like and I feel like that kind of thing can creep up on you in lots of different ways, not just if you're in a boiling cauldron, you know.
Yeah, yes, certainly.
Proverbial cauldron.
right. And like getting outside is just like, for me it's just always, it always improves my like everything, you know what I mean? It improves my mental whatever capacity and my mood and my energy. I don't know. I think it's good advice, you know. I also I'm always trying to figure out something to work outside, and yeah, there's like glare and, you know, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's tough. I'm sorry, I'm just rambling now, but like there's a disc golf course in Ashtabula, Ohio that's like, I like playing there, but they have like in one of their pavilions Wi-Fi, like there's a sign that's just like free Wi-Fi, you know. It's just like in the middle of this park, you know. I'm like, wow, yeah, that's really cool. I'm not gonna like drive to Ashtabula to work, but you know, I don't know, I could see that, you know. Maybe I'll try to push for that, you know, in Lakewood somewhere.
Yeah,
get some parks, you know, get a picnic bench under a tree, and I feel like then you're in good shape because you don't have the glare, but you don't have to worry about your umbrella flying away.
Yeah,
you know, exactly.
Best of both worlds.
Just plant a tree.
Go. Just got to watch out for mean squirrels, I guess.
Yeah.
I will befriend the squirrels.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I will become the leader
of the squirrels, I think.
Ooh.
Don't let them take your food, though, and you'll be okay.
I think along the lines with all the stuff we've been talking about, one of the other issues that's challenging is to turn work off when work is done. And I think it all comes back to this idea of forming good habits and finding those things that enrich your life. And I was even thinking recently, with remote work, most people are not doing a commute, right? I mean, maybe they'll go to a co-working space or coffee shop or something like that. But in some ways, a commute is a really good time to like detox from work and then move on to that next thing, right? Like I'm going home and now I'm home Becca. I'm not like developer Becca or whatever, you know? Because I can't, like, my office is in my house. And so it's always there, right?
Yeah.
I can always step back into work. And I'm frequently guilty of working beyond my hours or up until the point I have to pick up my kids, like, to the minute. And then I'll just jump in the car and then doesn't really give me time to turn off. And I was talking to my old manager yesterday, maybe, about different work options that I have right now. And One of them would be contract work. And he said, well, you know, one of the issues for you is going to be turning off. Like you're going to want to do more. So you really need to guard your hours and make sure that you're not working beyond that amount of time, because it doesn't serve you to do that. And it's true. Like that is for sure one of my weaknesses. And one of the things that I need to put into habit now is maybe like before I go pick up my kids, go take a 10-minute walk. And then that becomes my kind of commute time, right? To clear my mind, be done with work, and be ready to move on to, you know, who I am outside of work, because work should not be defining me.
Yeah, I agree with that a lot. And I've been independent, sort of work from home-ish for a very long time, you know, but a lot of people started doing this when the pandemic happened. And I've, you know, I think it's a pretty common thing. There's this concept of like going through a threshold, like actually like spiritually can make a transition in your mind, you know? And that's like, I feel like that's a big part of this is when you have a separate workplace and a separate living space, it's like a lot easier to turn it off. And you're like, well, okay. And you can even like leave your computer at work, you know, and then there's no temptation, but it's hard. It's hard when you're home and it's all there and it's, you know, plus phones and everything, you have your emails. I don't know. Yeah. It can be really hard. We were just talking about that in virtual coffee, in my breakout room on Tuesday.
On that note, I think, you know, sometimes even designating a part of your house, like this is the workplace, this is my desk, this is my office, and then just, you know, zoning it out like that. Like this is the small space where I do my work, and I'm going to shut this computer down, and then, you know, I'm only going to use my personal computer or phone or what have you. So having that separation can also sometimes help with getting away from work and then just being you, the person.
Yeah, that's one thing I never do is shut down my computer. So that's probably a good thing I should try every once in a while.
I've been pretty consistent about it.
Nice.
Yeah, it helps. Like when I'm done, I just close it down. I might use my second screen from work for my personal computer, but that's about it.
That's great. I love this idea. All the things that we talked through today about forming these good habits, because it enriches us as people. And like you said in that tweet, being able to take care of yourself is really important to being able to, you know, like be a human being that you want to be, but also to be a good performer at work. Because when you feel healthy and positive and happy, that kind of goes everywhere in your life. So it's not something that's just like, well, it's just good for this part. Like, no, it's good for all of you. So as we move to the end of this podcast episode, what is one word that you would use to describe yourself?
I'd say inquisitive.
Can you tell us a little bit more?
Yeah, I think that I really just have a great hunger for knowledge. So I have my interests and like I just dive so deep, you know, whether it be fruit, basketball, languages, traveling. I just think that like I try to find parallels with those interests. So, you know, for example, fruit, you have a lot of different culture and language sprinkled into that. For example, like my sister's favorite mango is a Burmese mango and has a Burmese name, like it, and you know, it has a different name here in the US. So just being able to find those parallels, dig deep on those types of things, I think is really something that just brings me so much joy. It brings more of a more depth and more of a story to my life. And I don't just want my life to be just simplistic and face value. I like to kind of give it a story and say, you know, this person did this and then now I'm eating a product of that based on this story, you know, for example. And, you know, I just think that I'm always interested in new things. And I think I always have so much to grow and learn in my life. So just loving that process and continuing that process over time, and then just trying to share that, I think is just why I would say that I'm inquisitive. And that's just a big part of myself. Yeah.
I love that. That was a really beautiful way to put that. Well, thanks, Alex, for joining us today and for talking through all of this with us. I know that I feel in a happy place right now after having this conversation. And I hope that everybody else who listens does as well.
Yes. Thank you, guys. It was fantastic. I love this community. So it's so great that we can have these conversations and share the amazingness that we're cultivating together.
All right. Thanks, Alex.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Virtual Coffee Podcast. This episode was produced by Dan Ott and Becca Harrott-Weigel and edited by Ashley Mulder. If you have questions or comments, you can hit us up on Twitter at virtualcoffee.io or email us at podcast@virtualcoffee.io. You can find the show notes, sign up for the newsletter, buy some VC merch, and check out all of our other resources on our website, virtualcoffee.io. If you're interested in sponsoring Virtual Coffee, you can find out more information on our website at virtualcoffee.io/sponsorship. Please subscribe to our podcast and be sure to leave us a review. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.